I'd like to begin this morning by just inviting you to help me use words that describe two kinds of people. And one of those kinds of people are what we would call, first, the narrow-minded person. What are descriptors or words that you use to describe the narrow-minded person?
Afraid.
Okay. Afraid of something. What? Closed. Surly. They're certain. Uh-huh. I have an idea about this. It's very firm, and the Lord will show you otherwise. Closed. One way.
Rigid.
My way. What about words that you'd use to describe a well-balanced, accepting person? Winsome. I'm just throwing a few in there. Huh?
Open.
Happy. Flexible. Loving. Humble. Faithful.
Kind.
Yeah.
Thoughtful.
When we look at these words, I'd like you to keep in mind that the words that we just used to describe this winsome, accepting, well-balanced person are descriptors for those who enter into what Jesus talks about as the narrow gate. Okay? Because there's a caricature that people have about those who enter the narrow gate. And we use words to describe that character as well. The good things, the winsome life that we talked about, is meant to describe those who enter the narrow gate. The main idea in this passage, if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 13, is that Jesus calls us to be intentional and discerning about what builds or breaks down our relationship with God. We're kind of in the final stretch on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is winding things up, and he's basically saying, now it's time to put some feet to what I've been telling you. I've been telling you what life in the kingdom is meant to be like. When you kneel to the king and you are subject to the king, it comes out looking much more like the Sermon on the Mount than anything else. And this is kind of where he begins to say, so what are you going to do about it? He's saying, every person out here on this field, and incidentally, this field was taken by Tony, is that right? Tony Woodard. And it's the picture of a church, right, up on the top of the hill, on the hill where Jesus delivered this sermon. So out here on this hill, Jesus spoke to people about most important and essential things: life in the kingdom. And he's saying, so what are you going to do about it? In these verses that we are looking at now, he wants us to guard the relationship that he offers us. And he offers it to us in these words. Would you read together with me? Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This really is about a relationship. You remember there was one time where Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, I am the gate. It's about a relationship between him and those sitting out there on the hill, and also about you and me. There's a place where we come to a decision point, and this is the decision point. The first thing that I see here is this idea that there is a challenge to go Jesus' way, and it's described in figurative terms, enter through the narrow gate. There is the challenge right there. Enter the narrow gate. I mentioned that Jesus said, I am the gate. What does this imply? What does this instruction to go Jesus' way imply? Enter the narrow gate. I think a couple of things. One, it was in our opening kind of explanation, the big idea of what he's saying here, and that's to be intentional and discerning about what's happening in our relationship. As we go on further, he describes difference between discerning the differences between entering the narrow gate and the wide gate. You have to be discerning about what that means. We need to be intentional about it. Luke's version of this talks about the idea of exercising determination. He uses this words, make every effort to enter through the narrow way. In Matthew's gospel, it just simply comes off as instruction. Enter the narrow gate. In Luke's version, it's intensified a bit. Strive. Exercise determination to enter into the narrow gate. So what does that mean, the narrow gate? Well, if Jesus is the gate, he's inviting us into a life with him. Life in the kingdom with the king. Make every effort, Luke says, to enter into the narrow gate. So there's a challenge. There's a challenge here to enter the narrow gate, and that's a relationship with God, with Christ. Second, there's a caution. There's a caution of living life without regard to Jesus. The word for, you see in your text, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road. This word for sends us into something else. Why would we want to enter the narrow gate? It's because going through the wide gate has its concerns. Now, the wide gate, what do you notice about this in our text? The idea, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. What do you notice about that? He is describing an easy path. What's that? There's a lot of wiggle room. Lots of wiggle room.
Can't be an angry person and
There is that difference implied in this, certainly. The wide way is popular. Why would it be popular? It says, for there are many who enter it. It's popular. Okay? What else do you notice? It's easy.
You could be in a different place from someone that's wrong and still be wrong yourself. That's why there's a lot of options to be wrong.
Could you say that one more time? That was that was so good.
You could be in a different place from someone that you know is wrong and still be wrong yourself.
Okay. So there's all kinds of room on this path for error, or being in error, isn't there?
It's the way of the world.
Okay.
It feels like you're hidden in the crowd.
It feels like you're hidden in the crowd?
Uh-huh.
Okay. There are several pictures that depict the narrow and wide gate that you can find on the internet. Some of them, one has a picture of a person literally crawling through a gate made of the cross, which is an interesting idea. A narrow gate means that you have to leave things. You can't carry them through a narrow gate, can you? You've probably seen those turnstiles that have all these little poles on every side. What can you take through something like that? It's really hard to get a tennis racket through that sometimes at times, you know, when you have to go through, take it onto the tennis court. It limits things, doesn't it? The narrow gate. And some commentators on this passage have been led to believe that this is exactly what Jesus is talking about. You set aside everything but him, and you enter into life with him. You set aside as unimportant or relatively unimportant compared to him, and you enter into life with him. But in the case of the wide gate, it's something quite different. There are no restrictions at all. Found an interesting depiction of this. Here.
Yeah.
We get unhappy that not everything we want can go with us. There are lots of things that we'd like to add. So there is a deceptiveness to this lifestyle. Anyone can go on it. Wide is the gate. Any position can be on that road. At a point in C.S. Lewis' life, before he became a Christian, he was becoming less and less a believer in God at all. As he moved toward atheism, he said these words, "I soon, in the famous words, found myself altering, I believe, to one does feel." It's a kind of a bit of English, you know, that's a little hard to get, but one does feel. Yeah. Anything can be found on the wide road. And in fact, it's a scandal to suggest that it could be narrower than anything on the wide road. There is an ease of this lifestyle. It doesn't affect anything. The car goes through the gate. The car goes through the gate. It's not a problem. Everything, anything can go through the gate. Call me angry, call me rude, call me anything, but don't call me narrow. That's the spirit of our age. Don't call me narrow. And we don't have to be, as we started out in the beginning, that serious, hard curmudgeon that knows it all. We can be winsome people who have been changed and transformed by Jesus Christ and are on the way with him. So to go the narrow way does not mean this. There's an ease of lifestyle on this road. Practically no one will object to the way you go. No one would dare say anything because this is not the perspective. There is an ease of lifestyle. There is support for this lifestyle, peer pressure. Many will enter into it. But the results of this lifestyle, the text says, leads to destruction. I don't know what you think of when you think of the word destruction. Sometimes I think in our modern sense, we think of lasers that just atomize things to bits. But that's kind of destruction. What Jesus is talking about is a lifestyle here, isn't it? You go through the gate, you choose him. You choose to be in relationship with him, and life is different. We'll look at what that means. But there's this other option. If you do not choose him, if you in fact reject him and his offer, and you walk the other path, there are implications to walking that other path. You can have the other path. God says you can go that way. It's not what God wants. Jesus wants you on the way with him. It'll be different than the path everybody else walks, but it'll be on the path with him. He, though, as a gentleman, allowing you to choose, says you can go that way. But if you go that way, it tends toward destruction. It tends toward things falling apart. Life itself can become unmanageable in so many, many ways when we never challenge our assumptions, our desires, our fantasies. This is the way to destruction. Destruction isn't, what would you call it? Like I say, blasting things to bits. It's things falling apart. Life can fall apart. And it can come, as one says, one does feel. Though it is the wrong road, Jesus says, many enter through it. This road is heavily traveled. In fact, many prefer it. You would never be alone on this road. But eventually, the road comes to destruction. So there is a caution. It's a caution about living without regard to Jesus. He brings his crowd at that moment to think on greater things. All that I've told you about life in the kingdom, do you choose it? Is this for you? You can choose to go the other direction. It leads nowhere. It's worse than a dead-end street because of the way it affects life. But you can choose the right of way. And that right of way is expressed in, it, this should read rather a life with regard to Jesus. Life with regard to Jesus. Copy and paste issue here. And instead of the word a caution, I remember it now, it's meant to read a calling. A calling regarding life with Jesus. We're called to something different. And the first is to the liberty of limitations. Narrow is the gate. Limitations. Is there freedom in limitations? Can you give me an example of how a limitation might bring freedom?
Get the television out of your house. See how much free time you've got.
Ooh. Ooh. Yes. Oh, she said, get the television out of your house and see how much free time you have.
When you're faithful in your marriage and you restrict yourself to only your mate, then you have that freedom of security and love. You have that, I don't know.
The boundary lines.
The boundary lines.
Okay. There's security in the limitations of mutual commitment in marriage. Any other examples? Where limitations really mean freedom.
Offense.
What's that?
Let's say you were in front of the Grand Canyon and there's a big drop off and they have a nice little fence right in front of that drop off. So you have the freedom to go over and lean and look and know that you're not going to fall off that place.
Sure. So, limitations can keep us from destruction or danger, literally.
What comes to my mind is the smaller the house, the less you have to vacuum.
Totally get that. That's wonderful. It puts safety in the whole. Okay.
Being in a ship on the ocean, you're constrained, you're confined, but you have life there versus
sure.
How you would survive.
Being a ship in the ocean. Freedom from temptation, freedom, sin.
When you put a baby gate up to keep a toddler out of the kitchen while you're cooking, they have all the freedom in the world on the other side of that gate, and they're free from danger because the gate is there.
So a baby gate illustrates it again. Yes. Thank you. Freedom of limitations is kind of a remarkable thing. Now, see, we're talking about life narrowing, but not becoming narrow. We're talking about limitations, restrictions. Very often, we have a real frontier view of what freedom is. Freedom to us many times is not having someone tell you you can't do it. That's freedom. But nobody can tell you you can't do it. But there could be real emptiness in that, couldn't there? There could be real danger in that as well. People may tell you, not there to tell you what to avoid. Yes. Point well made, right? A great qualification. That makes total sense. It really does.
Explains why the game is narrow. It's easily missed. I mean, like he said, your righteousness has to be better than the Pharisees.
Yes. This is Rick. And here you came, you dipped back into the sermon. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom. So this is where, it's where it all is. It's right in this. It's our personal response to what God is in Christ saying to us about these things. And we need to be very, very careful about that dynamic. Here's the one thing I think. If, you know, I'm not too afraid that people will become strict and narrow and crusty in the sense that we described earlier, if they're going to give themselves to the king in this way and try to live out the king's instructions. To you hear all those in the Beatitudes, the kind of spirit, the humble spirit, that it just breathes. It's the humble, you know, the part that Jesus talks about to begin time and time again, not only humble, but poor in spirit, but those who understand how deeply they need God, who are aware of their own sinfulness. One commentator actually, when it came to the narrow gate, suggested that these two things were kind of pillars on either side of the gate: humility and our deep awareness of how much we need Christ. If we are given to this, if we're given to the king and his teaching, and make our best effort to live according with him, and to be instructed by him, I'm not so worried about people becoming narrow in the other sense. That seems to imply the whole spirit of what Jesus is saying. That's what we need. Well then, so there's the liberty of limitations. In this is also the exercise of our souls. This path is depicted quite differently than the road, the broad and narrow way. It's very different. But it means the exercise of our souls when we go on this path with Jesus. The exercise of our souls is talked about in the scripture, and Aaron reminded me of that. The law of the Lord is righteous, converting the soul. There's something that Jesus is doing in you and me now that's going to make us what we shall be eventually. We are not yet what we shall be, but informed by Jesus' teaching, responding to Jesus' teaching and his way and his person, we shall be what he wants us to be. And then there's the support that Jesus provides. Now, where is that in this text? It's hidden down there in those little words, and few are they who find it. I'm flipping this a little bit. There are those who find it, right? You're in the company of the committed, the company of those who find it. That's where we have help for the journey to become what Jesus wants us to be. So we have the support that Jesus provides us there. What would keep a person tracked on the wide way when they have the opportunity to choose the narrow? Blindness, spiritual blindness. Selfishness. Ignorance.
Wealth.
Lack of courage to go the other way. Pride.
Peer pressure.
What would... Part of the peer pressure. What would keep a person tracked on the narrow way? What do you think? What would keep a person tracked on the narrow way in its most positive sense?
Encouragement.
Remember that word, it leads to life. It's life producing in this life. It leads to life eternal with Christ.
How about your sermons?
What's that?
How about your sermons?
Well, that's to be determined. She said, how about your sermons? I'm glad you counted it in there. I really am. That's where I want to be. Right there. Yeah. Others' prayers. The Holy Spirit tending us. Yeah. I'd like to invite our worship team. Oh, yes,